round of applause for Mr. John Hatton. Now, before we start, you all know about the fire drill. If anything happens, you've got to go over there by the old fire station. There's no fire brigade there, that's where you've got to go. Now, God forbid there is a fire, for insurance purposes, don't forget to say, you saw me big gold chain around my neck here. My Rolex watch. Gold chain here, and a big diamond ring. Now, don't forget that. Now, today, I'm going to be talking about the history of Edith. Afterwards, a very short film about the Big Fiona scene, what it says, about Dingo. And I'm going to talk about the pirates of the Dingo, the true story of the pirates of the Dingo. Can I have the first one, please, sir? It's the end. I may have to refer to the notes of John Thompson, because now, Edith. I'll give you tell you sort of a place name in a minute. But it goes far back to the Romans. We do know that Roman Rome was discovered down by St. Mary's Church in Crediton in the early 1970s when we were making the dual carriageway. And that Roman Rome is still underneath and it's still continuing, possibly through here in Park Rome and it's going onwards. Because the Roman soldiers who were based in Deva, which is Chester, had either come over with longships or they came across the marshes at low tide and amazing and hail because a very Roman villa has been found there. So they would have come here and gone to the outpost all up north towards the Adrian's Wall. Now I always say this, people say immigrants weren't started, but the Roman Empire went as far east as India, far north as the Baltic states, and far south into Africa. So you would have soldiers or slaves with them coming from all over Europe and the East. So up this road here, there might have been ox carts in front, all the Roman legions walking, straight up across to the global fields up there, far, far away to the north. After the Romans, next time this. After that, there was the Anglo-Saxons, but not necessarily in Egbert. The Anglo-Saxons were the Messenes. They moved up north from down south. They first came here in around 500 AD when the Romans had to leave Britain. And the first place they came to was Anglia. That's where you get the name Angleland, England, the land of the Angles. That's where they settled. And they came up north around 500, 600 AD, and the Messians, that's where you get the name of the River Mersey, the Mersey. And all, they mostly, their hamlets were mostly Allerton, Walton, Speed, Spiff is the Anglo-Saxon name for pigs. Also, Smithdown as well was named Esme Doon. Esme means slippery, Doon means ill, so slippery ill. Now, after that came the Vikings. There was a big battle on the Weald where the Bromford is now at Bedington. But I'm not going to go into that today. But the Vikings were came here, and they gave it the name, the place name. It's the Old Norse, A for Oak, B being Oak Street Hill. E is Oak, and B means Hill. So Oak Street Hill, anyone says, well, what's the thing before? Or Oak Street Hill. The next one, please. Have you looked at this? There's the place names. These are the Norse place names. Ikebe, Tokishu, where we are now, Tokishu is Tokishteth, meaning there was a chieftain who came here and sailed long shore before Otterspoon was built, over 1,000 years ago. Would have been shoreland, forest, and someone called Toki stopped it, and the steth had put on the land, put in the ground, Tokishteth. Toki's home place. Same as that there, Crosses. The next one's on. This is the English names. Roby, West Derby, Visa Derby, that was on the river. Derby, West Derby Road, Visa Derby here. Also, Kirby means Kirby, Church of the Lord. BYF the name is a Viking name, TOM. It's an Anglo-Saxon name. So Everton is an Anglo-Saxon. Okay, these all these places here. 1066, the Normans invaded England. William the Conqueror. So over the ensuing years, the knights who fought with him started moving northwards. Now, in a Liverpool area, the Molyneux, which was the Molyneux family. But one of the main ones came from to where we're talking about was the Garstow family. G-E-R-S-T-O-L, Adam the Garstow. So you've had a few babies there, they're from Garstow, man. You know, come from Garstow. So go on next one. Now, around 1200 AD, there was an army over in Stanmore on the Will. But that was getting flooded all the time. It was really bad over there for. So they were looking for somewhere else to move to. And they asked Warwick Grange by Manchester, that was the main army, the main place. It was the Benedictine monks. So they said, where can we go? So first they were going to go down to Toxteth. But that time, most of this area was damp and boggy, so they didn't want to come in. So they asked you to build a grange. Yeah. Now this is in Egberthal Avenue. Part of it's still there. This was built around, say about 1230 AD. Now the monks prayed, but they never worked on the land. The people who worked the land were the confessiae. These were the less intelligent monks. They were the ones managing the land for them. The people who done all the work were young kids, about 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. They were called the Juvenali, or the Juvenile. That's where you get the word Juvenile from. They worked the land. But they would have toiled in the fields all day. And where Otterspool is, Otterspool Park, they built water dams to fish. Because that much sand in the mazes back there used to feed it to the pigs. You go to the next one, please. I'm not just going to see it. 1238. This is a Lancashire, and you can see Thomas up there, the Great Park. This is Liverpool Castle. Did you know there was a castle in Liverpool?
Yeah.
In Castle Street. This was built between 1235 and 1237, under the orders of Brandon de Freys. Now, a lot of the knights came here, but they stayed at this place when they came to Liverpool. This here now, I saw it come up. This was right where the Royal Courts are today. What's happening?
So it's just a little shadow on the screen, so it's really interesting.
Next one, please. This is it, what it is.
That's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit better.
That's better. Stay right there all day, I'll move now. That's right, I'm going to stay there. Now this is where the North Court was. That's where the castle was today. Over north from this is Castle Malt House. Down below on the side, you still got part of Castle Malt. Forward to the next one. Now 1600, the Puritans came into the area. They were kicked off the lands up by Bolton. Now the Puritans were the godly people, very religious. So they came to round here, built farmhouses. They would have prayed down in the field in Lincoln Lane. And they built this church about 1625 into Tapper and Topsford. Now it's open this weekend, so if you have a chance to go and visit it, Saturday and Sunday. If you've never been in there, please go. It's absolutely superb. Next one, please. Now, this was the home of Jeremiah Horrocks. He discovered the transit of Venus across the sun. Now, when, do you know what the history of Tottenham Park? No one knows, no?
King John.
Okay, oh. No. The monster who came to him. He died when it was made.
It's Dave Park.
But, yeah, the Dave Park, there we are. This was started here. Now, Tottenham Park was created in about 1238 AD. Basically, it was created for the nobles to come boundary with them from the bottom of Parliament Street, up to Parliament Street to where the boundary pub is, down Smith Down Road, then through Greenbank Park, into Second Park, down towards Hospital and along the shoreline. Around that was a wooden fence, so the deer could jump in, but they couldn't get out again. And there was two hunting lodges built at the time, one that's still there, Second Park Road. If you go up the road, you turn right, it's just there on the corner. And that was the first one. This is the second one. This was in Jericho. As I said, this is the only Jeremiah Wallace who discovered the transit to be in this cluster zone. The next one, please. This is from 1765. Edward Road wasn't called that, it was called Park Lane. Because it used to be the lane that came up from the pool, bottom of Andover Street, right about, and that was the entrance to the park, which is where St. James' Church is today, nowadays. And you see, it was very broad, wasn't it? It was hardly anywhere. Not all was down in there, I'll show you this later, not all was the big area of natural beauty, or standard beauty. And you see Park Lane, you know what it is? All the house. And that was like that until the 1860s, basically. All the other there, the one guards that were there. That's what it is. Now this building here is our school farm. People started to move in the area around the 1600s. As you said, I was talking about the Puritans coming in. People, very wealthy people from the city centre, trying to escape the dirt and the mud. They were moving to the south. Also to the north around Everton, it was very clear here. And they moved down. This belongs to the Clayton family. You see the crest on it. Now this building was there up to the 1950s. It would have been where St. Margaret's School is today, on the playing fields. Exactly where it comes to that. I think it's about the 50s. Yeah, probably 40s, 60s, but it's not that. I've been there for 300 years. And the council in there with another day hasn't changed much, has it? He decided to demolish it. Should we go to the next one, please? Now, along here, as I was just going to say, you see that? Not much there, is it? Here we are now. The Park Coffee House.
Is that what was here on this site?
Yeah, that's the Park Coffee House. And you go down, well, the Park Coffee House. Over there, it's the site. At the bottom, coming out of Park Hall, was the Reverend John Yates' house. They were at that later became the Taylor Memorial. If you look along, you saw the end of the paper crosses owned by Mr. Nielsen. Dempsey, one of the crosses down there. Bill says Dempsey there. That was a guy called George Dempsey, he was a timber merchant. He also owned a couple of houses down there, which we'll come on to shortly. But when we go down Edward Road, when that hollow would come down that dip, do you know what about it? It was originally called Dempsey's Hollow. It's made something new today. Next one. This here is Edward Old Hall. I'm so glad it is at the moment because I've done more than photographs. Edward Old Hall was built on this one, part of it, in about 1500. Variety of people there, the Dickinsons, the Blackhouse, the Neely community, very famous in the city. They don't do so many things. They've involved in slavery, which is horrible. But I've got to mention that because that's the people there, very wealthy people. Because 90% of the money made from the day in Liverpool was built from slavery. No one can say, oh, we've done this, we've done that. No, they did, but that's it. So I won't leave that out. So the Blackhouse and the Neely Newsons. That's what they saw. Now I'm here. There's the old law. Born there. Grove House and Lowell House. Now, born there. This is old. You can see, you don't see that?
No.
Not going to see it. Well, that's a bit of news. Can you see this here?
church,
yeah. Church, yeah. But it was also one of the first picture albums in South of Liverpool. The Tivoli Cinema, which was opened in 1912. The Tivoli Kinematographic Cinema. Next one. This is where Glenn was, another house, another big house, which was on that mark. This was Glenn was knocked down in the 1930s when they built the Mayfair Cinema. The thing was, look further up there, where Herbert is, Herbert Food, on the corner, roughly shot. Now there's a post there, but it's been that written on Glenn, a gatepost. But the people who just opened the bar was, they took the top off where they said Glenn Hunt. Bit of vandalism.
I see that. Yeah. 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 Book. You saved the
yeah. No. That was there for 600 years, at least. But when they do something in person, that's actually not the doubt. We're out there, you know. Everyone in the area remembers that. And every time I went to Tesco, I was always like, I found out that was the thing.
Is the top still on the
floor
or something?
No, it's gone. It's gone.
Pissing, you couldn't just
I couldn't lift it.
Get someone with a crown.
Yeah. Next one.
Excuse me, can
I
interrupt?
What did it say? It's level 20. Now this, where this is now, this was another large mountain, much house called Barn A. Now, the person who lived in there was called Daniel Winner. He was a wealthy, very wealthy person. His father was the Dutch consulate in Liverpool. They were involved in so many different things over the years. His son, or his grandson, was Daniel Ernest Willard. He is the architect for Victorian Monuments, the Cunard Buildings, the Band Down at the Fair, and a number of other things in our town. Also, prior to this, can you go back to the old wall, yes, Tom? We've got one, next one back. Go back just a bit again. And again. I'll just leave it on. Come on, let's talk. This is the old door. Barn Street Tower lived there, the Tower family had this as well. But I'm going to come up to the Towers in a minute. Is that the same Towers? Anyone in the Towers? There's a Tower Street in town. You want to see the floor with this? And again. And again. And again. Just here. Now, another family lived there called the Boltons. There's a lot of famous people living around here. I'm not going to go back to it. No, I'm not going to use that. No, I'm going to go back to it. Another very famous person lived there. You probably had a pint in one of his books. That's Robert Cain. All these books. Robert Cain started off with nothing. A very poor family. He came from Ireland. In the 1840s, they lived in Scotland Road in a cell at the Abbotham, basically Abbotham. But he was very talented Robert. So he owned his first brewery in Lankin Lane. And the pubs around there, there's how many pubs in the area there, Barnard and Barnard. So he decided to expand, so he came down to the south end, to Starham Street, and he built another small brewery, very small. We were selling 2,000 barrels a week. The amount of 2,000 barrels a beer a week. By the late 19th century, he opened up the brewery, which he got now Cain's, with Saturdays and all the places, you know. It's all retro shops and all the water quarter. But he lived there with his wife and 11 children. It's been busy, isn't it? 11 children. And when he died in 1907, he was the richest man in Great Britain. Also, can you go back just one minute? Just a bit more on to the map. Here, that long mountain. Now, a guy called the Bolton family owners. Very wealthy merchant, another very wealthy merchant. And his daughter, Georgina, wants to marry a bloke called John Holman. He was against it. He's not marrying her, so he locked her up. Wouldn't let him out. This was days before the wedding. starts petitioning and petitioning. So he decided, okay. So on July the 16th, 1867, they were married down there at the ancient chapel of Tottenham. Now John Olney is the father of the Olympic Games. Don't know if you know this. Well, he had all his friends with gymnasts, and he used to put these games on every year. And it was the Gymnastic Association, the Olympic Association, which was the forerunner to the Olympic Games. And it all happened just down the road there from the mosque.
The old Lyceum in Bolt Street, that was a gym.
I know, yeah, that's where he was starting from, and then he came back with it. Can you move forward, please?
The plaque to John Bully in the Parkville Sports Centre.
Is it, yeah? And again. Now here we have Edith Hall Wall, another masterpiece of it. The first hall was built around 1500 AD. Now when they had the dissolution of the monasteries in 1525, Henry VIII decided to close all the Catholic monasteries around Britain. Where the Grange was, quite the round corner for this head before Hartley, they had to close down. All the goods were taken from it. Now, one of the first families in here were the Banstreet family and Fazakli. Now, the Banstreets were Catholics. Now, at the time, if you were Catholic, you couldn't pray. The other churches were closed down or burnt down, Catholic churches. So they went into the Grange to pray in their secret rooms. Priests couldn't go around, they had some of the priests always had to hide it. So you couldn't, a priest couldn't give mass. But they'd have little secret symbols on the walls. Like H-O or H-O-I-B would mean Sunday, it's a Christian. And on the graves, they had little secret things carved into the rock. Now this land kept changing hands. This was also owned by the Norris family from Speak. Everything kept changing and changing. So nothing was moving around here, it was still raw, or very raw. And one of the last people to live here was John Brodie. Mm. So can anyone tell you something he invented?
Girl nets.
Give that lady a hand, Jack Penter.
What did she say?
Girl nets, as well as many other things.
And the Queen's Drive.
Queen's Drive, Oscar School, everywhere. He created that. Next one,
please. And you had bells on the original nets and his original painting, so that when the ball hit the net, the bell would ring. So it was original goal line technology.
This was in the monster of 1937. Also, can I just put up slightly here? When he went along Egmouth Road, right away along towards where that was, when he got, when he wants to go to Garston, you'd have to pay a toll. You'd have to give money to their farm, the top of farming. You couldn't get there. So if you were bringing sheep for market, animals from market from Garston to Liverpool, you had to pay to go through. And coming back, you had to pay again. So when anyone going there, you had to pay for that toll if you're bringing the goods. So next one, please. Bank Street Tartan. Now, Bank Street Tartan, a very famous soldier. Now, in the film The Patriot that Mel Gibson made, Banstreet Tartan. Did you see that film, The Patriot? Has anyone seen The Patriot? The Mel Gibson film? Mm-hmm. They had one song called Colonel Compton. It was supposed to be based on it. Alright, it wasn't a nice person, but it wasn't a monster. But it made, Mel Gibson made him out to be a terrible monster. And there's a plaque to Banstreet Tartan on the corner of Fenwick Street and Water Street. And you get the name Tartan Street. They were very well, another very wealthy family, also involved in the slave trade as well. Next one, please. Here we have Robert Cain. He never left a penny to his dad, you know. This only his dad. Give him money. No, just this only. Never give him a penny at all. Next one, please.
Another family.
Yeah, here we have here. This.
He was the richest man in Britain, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Never left a penny to his garden. Don't know. Just one of the things. And there we have Oscar just do this article. The next one wants to do it, I keep coming back to this article. This article belongs to John Moss. Now, John Moss was a pioneer in many ways, but also another nasty man with a slave trade was, because he owned plantations in the West Indies. Moved into Delaware, all of this was hello? Come around that way. Yeah, come on. Don't worry, go around here, turn right there. Yeah. Director. Now, John Moss, this is the absolute to do. He owned plantations in the West Indies and Demerara. And when the abolished the slave act in the 1820s, he took all his slaves from the West Indies and put them into Demerara because they couldn't come into British control. Then when he had to get rid of them, the British government paid all the people who owned slaves compensation. This is bloody odd at the time. But John Moss, he no longer owned places. Here he is now. The thing with this guy, he was also a banker, and we wouldn't have the railways without him. He was the one who gave the money, so we could start out and lobby to the politicians. So we got the very first Liverpool to Manchester Railway, which created, basically created the Industrial Revolution, where we are today with laptops and everything else. So it's easy to blame, but it won't be. But this is the guy who gave so much to them. But he was doing it for his own benefit. You know, have you heard Frank talk today about William Huskisson? He was the first person to be killed on railways. I don't really know that, but in the early 1831, 32, when we were doing train and 2 hours off from Liverpool to Manchester, he got off the train for a period and he got killed, got crushed. And they brought his body down out to the Taylor Memorial when it was owned by Gators, Vaughan Gators at that time, and he died in there. So William Huskisson, and he's buried in St. James' Gardens. So we go back again to that's why we're playing Moss's Guild in the early part of the 1800s. That bit there was really part of the Otter's Pool. The Otter's Pool was an Otter's Pool. Where well, otters came in, the mares came straight under. Can you follow me up this one? I'm following you. Now, throughout the 19th century, that was the prior, so I'm going to go back to this one. And then, part of the, in the early 1800s, more and more people come to live in this area. Now, this prior, if there's 3 hours like this in St. Michael's and the Islands, there was the Priory, the Friars, and St. Michael's Mount. Now this one, I'm not going to look at the details of the Priory. Can you just go a little bit further, next one on? The family owned this called the Southern family. They were incredibly wealthy, and they were also involved in the building of the Bridgewater Canal. They invested in that and made millions at that time. And you see, this was their old palace, you know? Called the King. They were so wealthy, they had their own palace here. And we go back again, so again. This here, when it comes down to the bit, right, like that, this is coming down to the sea. But when the building was built from north, and later on, that was all filled in with rubbish. Now, there was one of their sons, it was called Edward's son. This is a little bit of coincidence for me, isn't it? It was not that. Very, very good at it. And he went up to America to with the Barnum Service in the 1840s, 1850s. And he wrote a play about a guy called Lord Rum Dave. And it's like a Tim Burton nice sort of bloke. And so that. Basically just taking the life out of him. And the American took it. It was called Our American Cousin. He absolutely loved the play. Massive success, and he done very well out of it. But the same thing is, it's a coincidence. And that was the play that President Lincoln was watching the day he got assassinated, the night he got assassinated. Right? That was written by a Scouser. The person who shot him, his dad was a Scouser, Henry Mills Booth, who emigrated to America in the 1850s. He appeared many times at the Royal Court Theatre, which is in Queen Square, became the Cold Storage place. And his son was John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated President Lincoln. Scouser had the play, not the play. Son of the Scouser shot the president.
We get played for everything, don't we?
So that's it. So two Scousers, or Scouser people. Isn't that a massive coincidence? You know. But certainly, I'd say these were not down when the old farming was built and they moved southwards. Sadly, these went. St. Michael's Mount was knocked down in the early 1960s. And also, another very famous place, Scouser, his family owned that, was George Manning. And George Manning says at the Scouser House that when he went down there, if you go to St. Michael's Road, you can see these two gateposts, which are always there. That was the entrance to the lane to get into, to the Pride of the Friars and St. Michael's Mount. I used to say there was an old Welsh man there, he, very grumpy. He said he used to be 10-5, another one thing. Next one, please. St. Michael's and St. Andrew's Church. Now, I won't tell you about this. This is the second ironclad church that was built in Great Britain. The first was St. George's and Everton Brown. This is on Local Weekend as well. Now, this was built under the orders of John Crabbe and his architect, Thomas Strickland. John Crabbe was very wealthy under the Iron family in Tyburn Street, and he wanted to build another church somewhere out the way. So he chose St. Michael's. It wasn't called St. Michael's then, it was called Dickinson Dingle. There's a big street down there. A guy called there, I think it was John Dickinson, the owner of the land, or the big, street. At one time, the street went from Princess Park, where it went down like that, where you had the Roman Pole, some of us would like to say names, remember both the Roman Pole. Down on the road, round the back of Alexander Drive, down into Edward Road, and into Dalmany Street, and down again into St. Michael's. That was a street. You can sail boats down there, apparently, from there, not very long, from there, and down into it. Go to the next one, please. That's what it looked like in 1825. If you see here, up here, the south of the road, where they're standing now, would have been at the bottom of the ice and roll down those holes. And then it was built on a higher ground. It doesn't look that way now, but if it went back then, it would have went right the way down. Next one, please. This was a shore. Now, this house here was owned by the Canary family, not a house, also. This was right on the beach. That was there for 300 years. Now the reason the shore was called Cast Iron Shore, because it used to be an iron farm just down the road at the bottom of the road called Mersey Falls. And also, discarded iron was thrown on the beach. That's why it's called the Cast Iron Shore. That's why they also the church as well. When they built the church, any cast iron from the church, it was thrown onto the ground. Now these people here, they still there, let's say, in the 1930s, what they built hospital from. Would you believe? This now is, when you go down Cherrycombe Lane at the bottom, where that tip is, that's what it would be, because the land was reclaimed from there, right away, on to build us to the front. The next one, please. This is John Crabbe's house, which is still there. It's in St. Michael's Road. So we go past. One other thing you've got to take in the back of all this, you've got something called, it's not there anymore. All the arms in the area, that's something called the Robber's Bell. So back then in the day when footpaths going up along the people in the air. There's no police or anything like that. Anyone come round, they thought they were the fairest people. They'd ring a bell. So people working on the kind of farms, they'd know where to get it. Hang on. So they all come out. That's what it used to be like. And still there, if you ever get a tour around there, have them on the back where you got the brother's belt. That's what it was. Now, I'm going to go on to Bart Lane now. I want to talk about Bart Lane.
Lady lives there.
You lived there?
Yes.
Did you know?
They're from the scene.
No, no. At the back of the thing, at the top, you've got it.
I thought that might have been of interest.
It's got the robber's bell. That's where the robber's bell was.
Do you live in that house?
No.
You go in the backyard, and the back thing, and it is one of them. You can see them a couple of boats where they are, outside where they had the bell, where they used to ring the robber's bell. Well, John, can you go back to the John Brown. When he died on his deathbed, not a very wealthy man, what he'd done, he had his will. I was going to leave his kids to certain things. He got the will, and he threw it on the back of the fire, and his fire just set up a fight between. So all his family had to fight between the money. St. Mike's in the Amber, there's so many things I've got to find there. There's another story about Kevin with the Tales of Talking. And talk more about St. Michael's, but it's unbelievable. But I've got to tell you one other thing. Has anyone here read a book called The Royal Arrangement Park in Toxic by Robert Griffiths?
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert Griffiths, I found out on Saturday where his princess was Four Seasons, and Nails for Rose, and London for Edgar Throne, and that's where he printed the book, The Royal Arrangement Park in Toxic. Yeah. It's where it is in the post, isn't it? Isn't that
And John Craig's house was a great survivor then, John?
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of everything else he's got.
1814, yeah, that built. But he moved to the area and he had to share stuff. Now, one thing I've got to say about St. Michael's, all the roads, he was a very religious man. That's why they had the buildings called the Fire Friars Department, St. Michael's Mass, St. Michael's Church Road. A lot of the buildings around there are all religious names. He's extremely religious. Looking what he wouldn't be the right spot, the Belgrave Pub, because he was very anti-drinking as well. He was abstainer. So he called on the characters. Now where we are for Mark Lane. Now Mark Lane was built or created by. The first one of that is I think the first mention of it was about 1815. But this is 1840s. Now what this man did by the way around was owned by a guy called Charles Taylor. His house was where McDonald's is now on Edgar Road. He owned all the land from there, from where McDonald's right away along, up there, round again, up the lane. That's where the name of the birds, the linnet, and the lark. If you go to the next one, Thomas, come on. This is a dash of gold. 1848, these buildings were built. A dash like the new group. Means a lady or a second lady. Now, can you go back against the map, please? If you go over there, there's nothing there in the 1840s. And it was like this until the 1860s. People started moving in. Next one, please. Next. Now, this is our school station. This was built in 1863. And when we built it, we knocked down Jeremiah Hart's house. It was destroyed. That. And this falls down, I think, in the 1950s, I'm sure. So I don't remember, but it was being knocked down.
I thought the kiosk in Jericho Park.
What?
You know the Otterspool Park, Jericho Lane?
Yeah.
I thought the kiosk there was Jeremiah Horrocks' house.
No, where? And it was in Otterspool Park, in Jericho. If you look at this is our school park, right? This is where the woodland was here. It was right in there. I know because I looked at it, I looked it up.
Oh, I thought it was still there. That's what I've been told.
Where the kiosk?
Where the old boarded up kiosk is, right down near the river in Otterspool Park.
No.
Oh, it's just an urban myth.
Yeah. It was Because the railway, Liverpool to Cheshire Railway ride, cut right through. There was a lot of trouble at the time. They were cutting through the line, and there wasn't paying anyone to do. So you had to build bar. At that time, there was a waterfall going. You came into the bar. As you come to the bar, man, you see at the side, it's called the River Jordan. The Puritans called it the River Jordan. And you go into it. As you went along, there was a waterfall went down. On the right was where Jeremiah Arnott's house was, on the same land as John Moss on. And I said it was demolished in 1863. So they can mention all this. I'm moving my own, the Albert Hotel. To my local level. The Albert Hotel was built in 1872. That was one of the main buildings in the area. There wasn't many places around there. Thinking there, when bodies were washed up on the shore back then, the shore, they used to put them in the bath at the outlet. Or if there was a hunting accident, someone got shot, they put them there before they set them up to the infirmary where the outlet is in Alice McDowell Road. So at the back, they used to be. At the outlet, at the back of there, was the bowling green. Upstairs, there used to be snooker. I saw one came in to play a practice match in there once. An exhibition match at sunset in the 70s. Also, it was built at the same time as Second Bar in 1872. This is when all the large mansions started coming in the area. Because at one time, prior to that, even prior to the 1860s, there was only about one or two houses from where McDonald's is, past Edward Fair, and along right the way along to West Carston. It was practically nothing, we were all large mansion houses. Say for the one whose house on the corner of Love Lane, Livingston Drive, the Horton. On the opposite side, there was Dingle Cottage, then a few others going right the way down towards Fulwood Park. That was built in the 1840s. Cressington Park in the 1850s. But all that land, from Edward Fair, right the way towards Garston, were quite grown. There's hardly any houses here. Large estates, but all the estates. If you go around by the most of the area, you can see there's some very large houses. They were crammed about the people who moved down here and then built these large houses on top of the land. And the same happened with here. Round by Love Lane. Didn't start developing until the 1880s. And the next one is Edward Fowle in 1918. Now the thing is, we can't show the film on here because it's a different setup I was going to show you, but I can still talk about it. These are all the 1880s. It starts with Belgrave Road. Then we might go down to Coldwood Road. On the right hand side of some of the large houses, we'll have a look here. All the streets still going down there. And they've got still there. They're still there today. That was the first estate in Nepith. You know, because obviously I'm telling you, the normal large houses are little farmhouses. Next one, please, sir. Here's Sully House, another very famous, now it's art gallery. Very famous art gallery. Belongs to the Hull family, another relative of George Barry. They owned the major shipping firm in Britain, not today, beyond shipping lines. But it's now art gallery. There's another one that was built in Sully Road. All that land right the way around, we own all that Hull family. Next one, please, sir. Now I'm going to talk about Mickey the monkey. Excuse me. You have to stay in after class. Mickey the monkey. Now I've got to tell you about Mickey the monkey. At one time there were three zoos in Liverpool. A big one up in West Harvey Road. Part of it's still there, which you do. There was another one owned by William Cross, which was in Ottersbrook. He took over the old mansion house, John Moss's mansion house. Cross had shops in the city centre, where you buy any sort of ammo you wanted. Sarah Bernard, the actress, used to go there and buy pets. You could go in and buy anything, any sort of ammo. Water plants. When he was in water school, he had bison and lemur walking around. So he had a few berries and he saw the lemur. He'd take the pledge and he'd go, oh, so the lemur would come back, oh, that's right, no more. So we had that there. So we moved these zoo up to Elsa Grove. They had all different animals. Now, maybe the monkey was supposed to be the cleverest monkey in Britain, that's what it said. He used to smoke, sadly, but they'd give us cigarettes to smoke. Now, people go to the zoo, buy pets, buy animal in there. So, but one day, Mickey the monkey had had enough of this. He escaped. He got on the news, and he was thrown straight at people. He bit a policeman and a kid, and he was thrown straight at the police, who tried again and was thrown down. Very clever, well. But he sent for the major Bradley from up at Warwick Street, TA Barracks, just down the road here. He was a marksman. And he come along, and he shot poor Mickey. He shot poor Mickey. 1938. And he was stuck and put in Lewis's department store. But when he got bombs on the Second World War, poor Mickey died. Now, the next thing I want to show you that on here, this is a little sweet boy, it's just a brief little sweet before I talk about the Pirates of the Bay. There's a little film in the Big Fiori singing Halfway to Paradise, showing old photographs of the Bingo. Because the one I wanted to show then, the one where it's a different format to mine. Mine is windows, this is a Mac laptop. So I'm sorry about that. Next time I'm going to talk, I'll show. I've done a talk a couple of weeks ago at the second part of the anniversary. I'm showing all the photographs there, all the normal buildings, right there, and all around here. But sadly, we tried to get them here, but we couldn't get it. This is not all that. There was a parliament before the road in London Road. All around Liverpool, it was all that one just knocked down the tube, can't remember, it's not Carlton, yeah. They were fantastic places. You'd go in there, they'd be like Parliament Court, someone would be playing the piano, you'd go upstairs, massive hair, screen here, you'd sit down. They were fantastic, only cinemas. But the Mayfair was knocked down in the 1970s. I saw the Romans as well, okay, and we had the Mayfair. I was absolutely stunning, two stunning places. But this so the one we're going to talk about now, absolutely two stories. The Pirates of the Game. Well, Rome. Ah, no. 1780. Along the riverfront of Bayville and Egbert, where we're going with now, there was a lot of shipbuilding going on. Now, there were two shipbuilders, one was called Peter Baker and his son in law, John Dawson. Now,
who was
Dawson? Dawson, I think someone is kind of. Is kind of
John, what was his name?
Dawson, not Dawson. Now, built a ship, now they built a ship down there, the merchants, because the merchants wanted to get into piracy. If they had something called a letter of mar, that means you can attack any ship you wanted as long as it wasn't English. So they had this ship right, because, and they invited two merchants to come down and have it. patron saint in bankruptcy. What am I going to do? So some of us said, right, we've got to manage to get into Paradise. So we went down to the Innocent Taverns down by Paradise Street and got a crew. So God was a Christian ship and mentor. So we set sail in October 1780. We went down the Mersey, round the road, right the way down to around the Bay of Biscay, because the new ships would be coming in from the Mediterranean with the gold. So on the way down there, heading down there, see these guys firing at me. You know, story of the pirates of the river. Finished now. That's the new finish. So thank you.